G'day, this is Nurky with another AboveTopSecret.com member podcast. This time in the Conspiracy Theory podcast section in response to the My Rights versus Your Rights podcast thread. I believe that this thread was started in response to a British airliner banning staff from taking Bibles to Saudi Arabia. First up, I'd just like to note that it was in fact a British airliner, with England being the home of the Queen, the head of the Church of England. It isn't that unexpected. And now a bit of response to some of the earlier podcasts in this thread, starting with the Relentless's opening podcast on the topic of separation of state versus freedom of speech. In a representative democracy state in the West, it's supposed to represent similarities between its voters, and that a state with Christian motives does not represent all of a nation. With division versus unity, a state represents similarities between voters with supposed unity, but in avoiding division, they must minimalize what they represent so as not to appear in favor of any one minority, also known as political correctness, which is where the term originally came from. In correcting political agendas and appearances of a major political party and minimalizing its stance on topics, which doesn't work too well in a dual party system, which is why we have more than one party and many different minority groups being represented. And now on to Benevolent Heretic's first response, the second podcast in this thread. She spoke about choice. Yeah, equal opportunity gives us choice. No one's forcing people to take the job in the planes to Saudi Arabia. Equality is all about giving people choice, not just considering other people's beliefs and rights. Like the topic about someone smoking impinging upon others' rights to choose not to smoke. Nobody's forcing them to smoke there, and nobody's forcing the other person to stay there. They both have a choice. And where consideration of others' feelings comes in, here comes Isaac Asimov's laws of robotics. The first law, a robot may not injure a human being or, through inaction, allow a human being to come to harm. Second law, a robot must obey orders given it by human beings, except where such orders would conflict with the first law. Third law, a robot must protect its own existence as long as such protection does not conflict with the first or second law. And a response to that relating to human equality and an ideal proposal of laws of humanity. First law, a citizen may not injure a human being or, through inaction, allow another human being to come to harm. Second law, a citizen must obey orders given it by its elected representatives of governing state, i.e. the American government, Islamic law, tribal council, etc., except where such orders would conflict with the first law. Third law, a citizen must protect its own existence as long as such protection does not conflict with the first or second law, i.e., as they say in Star Trek, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. If your beliefs state that you should take your own life in order to stop the spread of a virus to others, then do so. Or in Spock's case, stop the plasma flow to stop the rest of the ship being blown up from the warp core. Spock, no, don't do this. The needs of the few outweigh the needs of the many. That is an illogical assumption, Captain. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. And in response to Relentless's second post, which was the third one in this pod feed, about bringing equality and rights issues to the court. The court's supposed to be the legal actioning department of the representative government, which I mentioned earlier is supposed to minimalize its stances and avoid proclaiming an ideal that people it represents may not believe in. A representative government is pointless in a multicultural society, as it does not truly represent everybody. On the topic of choosing to take driver's license tests or not, a case for this would be that in New Zealand, the Māori government, or also known as Māori government, has issued its own licenses to Māori citizens. And some Māoris don't get New Zealand colonial licenses, or the officially recognised New Zealand government, and in fact choose to get Māori law ones instead. And that issue brings me to the next podcast in this thread, which was Benevolent Heretics. I never seem to pronounce her name right. If driving licenses were rights, instead of privileges, we wouldn't need them, as rights are inalienable and self-evident. And the way to solve a fair few of equality issues in a nation where people don't believe in the laws of the state, give them their own tribal sovereignty and create a separatist state nation for them. People should also understand the jurisdiction and the scope of a nation's power and its representation and what it represents. Recently in Australia, we had a young boy from Springvale, Victoria, of Vietnamese descent, who was charged with drug smuggling into Singapore. He was executed despite huge public outcry in Australia. We don't have the death penalty anymore, but our government acknowledged that the boy had accepted the jurisdiction of Singapore when he entered the country. I like to say that you have the right of freedom and equal opportunity, which means that you have the right to choose which set of laws you fall victim to, but you must obey them while you are there. If you don't like it, you can leave. The next podcast response was Magic's first contribution to this thread. He's noted as having said, "The only rights you have are the ones you can defend." Doesn't it say in the American Constitution that rights are inalienable? Under the American Constitution, you shouldn't need to defend them because they can't be taken away from you. But I like to give him kudos for the "when in Rome" comment. Now I can't get images of Monty Python out of my head. Fine Willis Wodger. Back on topic. Something I'd like to bring up that I noted before was, if we don't respect the laws when in someone else's country, how can we expect them to respect our laws when in our country? I want to ask, if the American government doesn't respect their own laws, how can they expect everyone else to respect them too? Yet again, when in Rome. On the topic of lawyers. Lawyers are destroying the Western world. They're one of the reasons the respect for America and the rest of the Western world is falling. Americans sue for the stupidest things, and lawyers are too expensive. However, increasing the number of lawyers may be good for competition and price, but will it increase the number of useful cases in the market instead of just crap? Like suing for coffee burns. What kind of an idiot is so negligible that they spill coffee on themselves? If the coffee's hot, don't drink it. Duh. Take some responsibility. And most of those cases are just a waste of taxpayers' money. Americans don't take responsibility for their own actions anymore. They even sue for mental anguish and false depression cases. Oh my god, you've offended me. I'm not going to go to work anymore and sit at home and be emo and get therapy over it and then sue you for $30,000 later because I'm too weak. But next on the topic of beliefs. There's a difference between religious beliefs and religious actions. Your beliefs don't affect anybody else, but your actions can. You can't have your beliefs taken away from you, but you can have the capacity to engage in the actions that relate to them taken away from you. A response to Mr. Whoopi's first contribution to this thread, which was the second last post before mine. Something funny I noted about the tolerance issue. In a Star Trek documentary, one representative of a fan club actually said something along the lines of, "Yes, we love tolerance. We're very tolerant. In fact, we're more tolerant than those people." Pointing to another group of fans. Yeah, right. And I got to give him kudos for his mention of the Christian takeover of the US government and that their imaginary friend told them what to do. Also, in a total freedom state, there's no compromise. Giving everyone full freedom and allowing them total democracy, that results in anarchy. Unfortunately, we still need babysitters. We're not altruistic enough to be able to live in an anarchistic state. Sorry. Next one is Magic's response, being the last one before mine in this pod thread. I'd like to second the motion that Marxist social criticisms of capitalism are a religion, or is a religion. It even gets propagated like one as well, with zealots, exclusion groups, information nights, dogma, flyers, etc. And I think the quote that Magic was looking for was, Orwell would be rolling in his grave. Yeah. Orwell would be rolling in his grave at today's political correctness. It's just ridiculous now. It's getting out of hand. And Magic brought up the topic of laws being fair. Yeah, not all laws are fair. But that's why they can be changed. Mostly in a democracy that allows for the changing of laws. That's why we have representatives, so that they can change the laws for us. And that's why we lobby representatives, so they can listen to us. Unfortunately, a lot of rich people and corporations, blah, 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 corporate scandals, etc., etc., that's a different podcast. And this podcast coming to a close with a couple of personal notes. Firstly, I'm not interested personally in appeasing the easily offendable because they're too lazy to toughen their skin and raise their thresholds for taking flack. If people aren't willing to accept criticisms and raise their capability for seeing bad stuff happen, then is that really my problem? I don't think so. People see that as narcissism and selfishness. That itself is not my problem either. And the final closing line for this will be a quote from the infamous Bill Hicks. You have the right to do what we tell you to. Okay, I have to add this to the end as a postscript. It's been driving me crazy. It's been stuck in my head all podcast and all afternoon. Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing life's gristle, don't grumble, give a whistle. And this will help things turn out for the best. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life. For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your sin. Give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow. So, always look on the bright side of death. Just before you draw your terminal breath. Life's a piece of shit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show. Keep 'em laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life. Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the bright side of life. Infinite Global Podcast.